So this morning we are ending the series, The Big Sins, which we've been going through. And not that side down, the other one. The picture, yeah. So this picture has been on our website for a while. And this is kind of the theme of The Big Sins, which just kind of stick that image into your head for later. Because we're going to be recreating that. Yeah. It's going to be crazy. And I hope it works. But I think it's going to work. It's going to be good. Okay, so kids, how many of you like Taylor Swift? And adults, that's cool, yeah. Okay, Taylor Swift. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Taylor Swift. The way we built this Sunday up, some of you might have been expecting for Taylor to walk through the doors now. That is definitely not happening. But that would be amazing, and I would happily sit down if she did walk through those doors. Okay, she didn't. Okay, so has anyone ever, and I want to have to be careful here, but you've heard someone kind of playing a Taylor Swift song on the piano when they're just learning, and it just feels like it's not quite there, or maybe on the radio and the reception's just not in, or the CD keeps skipping, and you're listening to this Taylor Swift, and it makes you so want to hear the song on a really good stereo system with all of its rhythm and melody and harmony the correct way, right? I was at a talent show not too long ago, and this girl did an amazing job playing a Taylor Swift song, but the whole time I was just tapping my feet like, oh man, I just want to hear Taylor now. I want to hear her in her full glory singing, right? Anyone ever experienced that? Okay, yeah. So that to me is, there's kind of this song of the world, the song of life. And we'll go with Taylor this morning. I mean, why not? Shake it off, right? This song of life, and there's these things that sometimes we hear the song, but we don't really hear it very well. But there's this part of us that really wants to just play the song loud and hear it in its full glory. And that stuff where we're not really hearing the song very well, that is what I would call sin. So we hear a lot of words for sin, and sometimes for a kid it's really hard to understand what sin is, or you feel really guilty or weird about it. But sin is just the thing that we just aren't quite hearing the song. Or how many kids have pets? Raise your hand if you have a pet. Or adults. Okay, how many people have a favorite animal? Okay, how many people can just picture an animal? Any animal, okay? Just picture an animal, any animal. Okay, now, I want you to imagine the animal. What do we got? What animal are you picturing? A what? A bear. Okay, great. A bear. What animal? A dog. Great. Do you have a pet dog? You have a pet? What's the name? Duke. Nice. That's a good name. Okay, what animal are you picturing? A panda. I like that. Okay, anyone else? Yes. A cat, okay. Dog, another dog. Oh, you have a pet dog, Bailey? Has Bailey met Duke? No, okay, that's all right. What's your animal? An elephant, okay. So now picture the animal, and picture the animal in a box the size of the animal. So an elephant would be a really big box. A cat would be a pretty small box. A dog would be, a giraffe would be a really tall box, right? Okay, but picture the animal in the box, and picture it in a box so tight that the animal can't even, if it has arms like a bear, it can't, if it would just stretch out this much. And if it doesn't have arms, the feet would just kind of hit the sides of the box. So it's just stuck in this box, right? Now, how many people think the animal would be happy in the box? If you raise your hand, you need to go to the Humane Society or something, I'm not sure. You need to learn about animals and nature. Okay, so the animal would not be happy in a box, right? That box is what I would call sin. Okay? So when we think of sin, think about an animal that we love in a box where it can't even move. And we look at that animal, we feel sad for that animal because this animal is meant to soar or to swim or to run or to stomp like a big elephant, or to go to the trees and pick off the leaves, and to be in this little box, it's so sad. And you say, no, that's not how an animal is supposed to live. And I think God looks at human beings with sin sometimes and sees us trapped in these little boxes. And God says, oh, no, you're missing it. I want you to soar. I want you to run. I want you to be free. This is what God is talking about. And so sin isn't this thing where God looks at human beings and is very angry, like, I'm so mad at you because you messed up. God looks at you and says, oh, man, I want you to be running like an elephant, free, wild, in the plains of Africa, or wherever, in the plains of Spokane. I want you to be free. And sin is this thing that just traps us. So a way that we've been saying this for the entire series is this slide we've had up here. And we've talked about vectors and evolution and new and an awareness of what is real and growth and this idea that we are enough compared to ideas like points and resistance and misalignment and tension and blindness and distraction. So basically, all of the things over on this side are these ideas of moving and being free and going and swimming and soaring and being inspired to go places with God and to heal the world. And all the things over here are these ideas of just being stuck and trapped and you can't breathe and you're stuck in this little box. And that doesn't help anyone. And that's not what God designed us to be, is stuck over here. And so we've been saying sin happens whenever we refuse to keep growing. And I might even say sin happens when we're just not growing. Sometimes we're not refusing to grow. It's just sometimes we're stuck for various reasons and we're not growing. And that makes God sad because God says, I want you growing and moving and changing the world. I want this whole world moving. Okay? So that's what we've been talking about. And there's a number of sins that we talked about throughout this series. And the first one that I would say keeps us from really growing is this idea of forgiving others. This is how Jesus said it. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when people said, well, that's interesting. And again, we said this a few weeks ago, but when people are asked, or when people ask the question, how do I have my sins forgiven? The answer is very rarely, in Christian circles, very rarely, well, you just need to forgive others. More often than not, it's, well, you need to say a prayer, you need to believe this about Jesus, you need to believe this about God, you need to believe this, you need to do this. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say, hey, how do I have my sins forgiven by God? Oh, you just forgive others. That's what you do. And when Jesus was asked, well, how many times do we forgive people? He said, not seven times, but 77 times, or basically over and over and over and over again. And again, this is not magic or even spiritual magic. This is not, in my opinion, I forgive someone and then God is up in heaven with the checklist watching. Okay, good, Ryan, you forgave him. Now I can forgive you. Bring. No, this is just the way the world works. This is the way humans work. If we can't get out of the cage, if we can't find ourselves growing and moving and being free, it's often because we're keeping other people in their cages. And we're burdening other people with our judgment, or we're burdening them with things they've done to us in the past, or we're burdening them just because we don't like them or their lifestyle or the way that they bug us for the accounting reports every Friday. And I just hate John in accounting. I can't stand that guy. Well, when you hate John in accounting, you're going to find it hard for your own soul and spirit and body to be moving forward. And so what we're going to do this morning as we talk about each of these things is we have a little bit of yarn. And what I would like you to do is actually this entire morning, there's going to be moments where we're tempted to just start laughing and kind of it gets awkward and frustrating and confusing. Rather than laugh or talk to somebody about how silly this is, I'd rather you make this a prayer. So for the next 20 minutes, I hope this is one big prayer, and even for kids, right? There's all different ways to pray to God, and sometimes it's not just getting down on our knees and saying, Dear Jesus. Sometimes it's doing things, participating with other people and with God, okay? So any of you who can think of someone that you need to forgive? My brother, Rand, I talked about my brothers on the first week of this series. My brother Rand put it this way. I think we have the slide. Them, me, them. I love this. This was, to my brother, the greatest sin. And this is basically inequality, or not assuming that we're all the same. It's just that I'm better than them, or they are better than me. And a lot of that is tied to forgiveness. Forgiveness is often this idea of, you know what, I need to show them the same amount of grace that I believe God shows me. And it's going to be really hard for me to see the amount of grace God shows me until I show it to them. So it's equals, it levels the playing field. And some of you just have a group of people or a person who you're still way better than. You think you're the man or the woman and they're not. Or you think this group of people, the country would be better off without them. Or you think this group of people just shouldn't be in your life, or they need to change more than you do. That's all related to forgiveness for me. So what you're going to do, and I'm going to start this little ball of yarn passing, if that's you, simply tie this thing around your wrist like twice and then pass it along, okay? And you can throw it across the room. Just try not to get this thing in the fire. Then it would not be the illustration I was looking for. But we'll start this. Does anyone want to volunteer that just have somebody, kids, you have somebody you want to forgive, or you just think maybe you should, or you just want to play with the yarn? He wasn't listening. He wants to play with the yarn. Okay, I'm going to let you start with it. You don't have to tie it around your wrist. But if there's anyone you just think of, man, you know, that person, they really do bug me. That group of people, they really do bug me. That guy from high school hurt me. And I'm not sure I really have completely seen him as a child of God the same as me. Or my parents were terrible. They weren't what kids are supposed to have as parents. And I'm not sure I've completely believed that God loves them the same as God loves me. Or you can fill in the blank over and over and over again. If that's you, take some yarn, tie it around your wrist, and pass it along. Okay, the next one we talked about. Well, we talked about sin some more, basically. And before we got too specific after forgiving people, we talked about some ideas of what we often think of as sin, right? And if sin doesn't really bug you, actually, you know, we often just go with the things that bug us about other people. Let's be honest. And those are the first places we go to. So if I say, think of a sin, you're going to think of a sin that someone else is doing so that it gets the spotlight off of you. And that's not how we want to approach sin. We want to think of the things that convict us and that make us a little uncomfortable, which is what we did in that first week. You bring up capitalism, and all of us in this room get a little uncomfortable, myself included. In fact, I get more feedback talking about money and capitalism than any other subject, which to me indicates we have a problem because it stirs something in us. It provokes us in a way we don't like it. And the Pharisees didn't like being provoked about certain things either, and those were the things that they really needed to pay attention to. Another thing we do with sin is we go to surface level. So we say, don't drink, which is oftentimes a good idea. Or we say, kids, listen to your parents. But when a kid doesn't listen to your parents, maybe the more important question is, why doesn't the kid listen to the parents? Right? And you kids have good reasons for not listening to your parents, because your parents are wrong a lot of the times. I'm kidding, you guys. Your parents are always right. They always know what's best for you. But the question is, why don't you do what they say? And then we look to culture, we look to the Bible, and we look to experience. And we came with this Richard Rohr quote. Wow, Richard Rohr. I've never once heard a sermon about the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Because in our culture, that's the only game in town. It's called capitalism. And just the word capitalism, it provokes us. Probably not kids, which also says something, but us adults. We like capitalism. Don't start talking about my capitalism, Ryan. And without getting political, we changed that to having a lot, wanting more, and then protecting what we do have with walls or violence or hate or anger. And we told the story of the man who had so much that his storerooms were full, and so he built more storerooms because he had this idea of someday I'll be happy and just eat and drink and be merry and relax. And this is what God said to that individual in the story Jesus told. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. The only time God is that basically blatantly angry toward someone in a story is someone who has a lot, wants more, and is storing up more and more and more and more. So we can call that whatever you want, but I know I could tie this one around my wrist, which I will. And here's the thing. I have a lot, but I want more. I want more of everything that I have a lot of. And the things that I do have a lot of, I'm willing to protect with whatever it takes. You come for my stuff, oh, you better be ready. Which brings up a lot of different interesting questions of why. And so again, this is not necessarily just God is really so angry and can't stand me. It's more of, Ryan, you're burdening yourself, you're anchoring yourself with having a lot, wanting more, and protecting what you do have. So I'm going to pass this one to you. And now we are attached. So give me some slack. Yeah, give me a good amount of slack there. Okay, but it's starting to get a little bit. Oh, and get that yarn crossing. We want this thing going around, you guys. Don't keep it in this area over here. Somebody toss it. I want to see a toss. Where is it? Toss it over here. Nathan. Yes, there we go. More yarn's coming. Okay, at some point, it doesn't really matter the yarn, let's be honest. It's just indicative of what we're talking about. Okay, next one, Mother's Day, Tower of Babel. A lot of different ways to take that story, but here's the story. People were unified, singular ideas and beliefs and purpose, and they were building this tower to God, and there's a million different ways to come at that story. This is the way I came at it and the way I'm coming at it most recently. This is how it ends. The Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And there's this interesting thing in the story. God wants to scatter people, which is really interesting to think about, right? God wants to stir things up. And I would say one of the biggest sins that we do is we don't believe God wants to scatter. We believe everything fits in a little nice box, aka cage. And when we have it all figured out, we're stuck in there. And it's nice and safe and certain. Of course, we can't move. We can't touch other people. But we've got it all figured out. And I think that's when God comes in and says, stir the pot. I'm a diverse God. I'm a big God, bigger than you can possibly imagine. As I said last week, the universe is expanding faster than we've ever thought. If you think cages and boxes are the way of the universe, just read a science book. Any one. This is not how God flows and works. And so we trap ourselves and we are afraid of anything different. We're afraid to listen to different opinions. We're afraid of someone who has a different perspective. We're afraid of acknowledging our own biases. If that's you, that's really weird to just hand it to you. If that's you, wink, wink, I know it is. I don't actually know that. It felt like that a little bit. Tie it around your wrist. Okay. Next one, shame. Shame. I talked about Rhino, my ego. Did any kids name their egos? Did any person name their ego? You guys all said you would. You didn't. One, Blake. Bob. What is Bob? Is he just you, like big form, kind of Big Hero 6 type guy, or an animal? You don't know? A guy. Okay, a guy. Anyone else name their ego? You guys, come on. Why do we go through all this stuff on Sundays? Just kidding. Danielle? Dino. Yeah, Danielle, Dino. I'm assuming it's a dinosaur. Okay, is it a mean dinosaur or a nice dinosaur? Depends. Okay, I like it. So we talked about shame, And shame is just my ego. And my ego loves to tell me things like looking at people and saying, can you believe? Can you believe they're doing that? Can you believe they're reading that book? Can you believe they're listening to that music? Can you believe they're going there? My ego loves to tell me that kind of stuff because it makes me feel so good. My ego loves to focus on rules instead of healing people. So my ego loves to really look at all the people who are breaking the rules, well, the rules that I'm not breaking, so that I can think of myself as so much better than them. My ego loves to play all these tricks on me that are constantly just about building myself up and putting someone else down. And this is all because at the root of it is shame, which shame just says, I'm not enough. And that to me, if you want to sum up Christianity and what it means, is that I am enough. I'm enough. God says you're enough. Believe it. Live it. Well, no, I kind of believe it, but I need to do all these things. No, you don't. You just need to believe you're enough and that you're loved the same as everyone else. Well, what about, nope, believe it. And when I do believe it, Rhino tends to go sit in the corner. Except when I really need Rhino, because Rhino doesn't have a lot to say then. Because I know I'm enough, and he doesn't need to build me up all the time. So, shame. Where have we not been? Over here? No, we've been over here. Where? Okay, shame. Tie it around your wrist. Yes, okay. You guys, it's already getting frustrating, which I love. Okay, the last one was what? Last week. Hopefully somebody remembers. Fear. Fear, right? Worm tongue. Let's just put up the list from last week. There is always a risk. There is always a cost. It always rains, in the sense of it rains on my crops and feeds them, whether I'm righteous or unrighteous, according to Jesus. There are always critics. Amen. Always critics. There are critics if I don't do something. There are critics if I do something. If I don't do something, critics are saying, why didn't you do that thing? And then as soon as I do that thing, critics are saying, why didn't you do that thing? Why did you do that thing? And you get it. There's always a no. We're always saying no to something so that we can say yes to something. We always give up control. You do not have control of anything in life. I mean, you think you do, but really on a grand scale, you don't, which is why we said, and it kind of, again, provoked some of us, we're lucky. We're lucky to live in a society where we can earn things. We're lucky to live in a society where we can work hard and have it pay off. And sometimes we're unlucky in a very lucky society and we get a cancer diagnosis. And it's not because you did something wrong or because God's angry at you or trying to teach you a lesson. Sometimes it happens. There are always expectations. There is always more to do. And some of you are so afraid of telling someone no because you will risk hurting them or not meeting their needs. And yet Jesus, the more the crowds came, the more Jesus left and went by himself. You are always wrong. That was one of my favorites. I am always wrong about something. Every Sunday, I'm probably wrong about something. And like I said, I just don't know what it is. So you have to figure it out. But you're also wrong about something, so we'll figure it out together. There's always love. The Bible says all over the place, love casts out fear. So if there's fear, there's no love, and God is love. So if there's fear, there's no God, which is one of the reasons it is the biggest sin. And then there's always more, as in this idea of going bigger, better places. So fear. I know you all have fear. Okay, now, keep this thing going. Where are we at with the yarn? You guys, keep them going. Wrap them around. We got to get this thing crazy, like that picture. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to wrap these things around. Don't cheat and let them off your wrist. And we're all going to come up here for communion with the yarn wrapped around our wrist. Now, get your laughing out. Okay, here's the deal. This, to me, is the important part of the prayer, and I mean this, okay? These are the things we're saying hold us back. These are the cages, right? And it's going to be a quite literal web or anchor or resistance this morning as we come to communion. And again, rather than laugh or think this is silly, I would ask you to really meditate, contemplate, and pray this. Because this is the world we live in, and this is why many of us feel this sense of, like, what's wrong with the world? And sometimes it's easy to be cynical or negative or pessimistic about, where's this world going? Well, I know where it's going. It's all going to hell. I don't think that's the case. But I think when there's yarn everywhere attached to people, and we're trying to get up here, it sometimes feels that way. So it's going to be really frustrating, and it's going to be really hard, and you're going to get mad at people, which never happens ever in life. And you're going to get frustrated that you can't get where you want to go. Never happens in life. But you're going to somehow make your way up to this table, and you're going to break bread, and you're going to dip it in the wine or the juice, or a gluten-free cracker, you're going to dip it in the wine or the juice. And we're going to remember this story that Jesus told. When he broke bread and poured wine, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And what do we do in remembrance of Jesus? What does that look like? Well, we remember the life Jesus lived. And we remember that Jesus said, "Hey, you can forgive people. I've done it. As they were killing me on the cross, I forgave them." That's the thing you need to remember. You need to remember that there's no fear. You need to remember that you're enough. You need to remember that having more and wanting more and protecting it with everything you've got is not the way of life I told you. And then Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves, and we often get caught up on Judas. But Jesus pouring out the covenant of my blood, which is for the forgiveness of sins, which we often throw around, and many of us have a little bit of a uncomfortable feeling about that phrase even. And I hope to bring back the power of that phrase this morning, and this is how. After you break the bread and drink the cup, you're going to cut your yarn. Okay? That is what Jesus means and what the Bible means when we talk about Jesus forgiving our sins and dying for our sins. Okay? This is real stuff. Jesus came to say, no, cut this stuff and be free and get out of your cage and your burden and start living and healing the world the way I want you to do it. And then imagine the feeling when you're just trying to get up here from the back row and there's yarn everywhere and you eventually make it up and you cut it, how excited you are to tell someone else, "Hey, listen, you should get up there and just cut the yarn. It's a way better way to live." It's not, "Hey, God will finally love you." It's not, "Hey, you can finally get to heaven." It's, "Oh, man, I can actually move again." Think through all of these things. Hey, Alan, I put a little, you got that? A little playlist. It says communion on it. Sorry, I didn't talk to Alan beforehand. And again, this would be my wish for you. Please make this sacred. And I really mean this. Think about what all of this means. The yarn, the bread, the wine, the cutting. And let God speak to you. Experience God in this moment as we try to get up here and do this thing called communion or Eucharist and give thanks for the Jesus who saves us from our sins. So I'd encourage you, maybe as the music plays, to just take a couple minutes and really think about all this yarn you have and what are those things that are holding you back? Shame, fear, money, or other things you have a lot of that you're holding on to everything with. A fear of going to diverse, unique places and listening to other opinions. Or just not forgiving someone. So think about that for a moment and then just start making your way up. So I don't know what images you got, but I got some I'm going to take with me. into life. One is, it was really easy for some people to get up here and cut their yarn. And it was a lot harder for others to get up here. Another one is, I still have this tied around my wrist, kind of as a reminder slash, I don't know what, but there's this end here that's cut, and so it doesn't really bother me as much. Another image I had was, I was getting really frustrated, actually, just people, you can get up here. Just get up here. And they couldn't. And it's this idea of, can you just get up there? And then there's, I was cut, I was free, and then I'm sitting here and yarn is across my head and across my neck, and still other people's stuff and webs and baggage is affecting me. And then I saw kids cutting their parents. I saw parents cutting their kids. And I saw a kid saying, no, I want to do it. I want to do it. And then I see all these remnants just laying here around the communion table. Oof, man, that gets me goosebumps even. Around the bread and wine, just this stuff. Good riddance. And then there was this sense of when the last people came up, I really, the whole time I was like, can we just, come on. And when the last people cut their yarn right here, I just like, whew, okay. A little bit of heaven. I'm like, man, everyone's free in here finally. I hope you take these images with you. And I hope you think on them and meditate on them and pray on them. There's a lot of powerful stuff that just happened. Let's pray. God, we thank you for experience and metaphors and illustrations. And I pray that we take some of this experience into life with us. I pray that we talk about sin differently. My personal opinion is the way we've talked about it has not been helpful for us as individuals or us as a society. So many of us are still tied in and trapped. And you move through us. You look at us and you weep. You have such bigger plans for our lives. Pray that you help us to cut the anchors and the cages and the baggage and the things preventing us from moving with you. Help us to believe we can be free of sin. That nice little thing we say. Help us to live it. Help us to believe things like Jesus died for our sins. That means they're sitting here on the floor, no longer affecting us and preventing us from moving. Help us to show grace to people who are struggling to get to the spot where they can cut. Help us to show grace to people who have not yarn, but metal or chains attached to them, and they are struggling with everything they can to just get to some kind of thing that will cut one link. Help us to help them cut it. Help us to live the abundant, free, empowered, inspired, beautiful, diverse, evolving life that you came to bring us. And help us to be excited to share that story. Help us to be excited to heal the world Help us to be excited with every piece of yarn we see cut, and to help others cut them, and to continue to cut them ourselves, and to smile, because you're a God who smiles with us. We love you. We thank you for your love. Thank you for every human being in this room, that we are equally loved by you, that we are children of you, that we are made in the divine image, and that we are beautiful pieces of art capable of so much. Help us to realize who we are and what we are capable of. In Jesus' name, we pray all of these things. Amen. Have an awesome week. Go in grace and peace.